This is Dr. Shannon M. Clark with A Doctor Delivers Podcast, and today I am discussing parenting through the chaos with married couple Dr. Stephen and Erin Mitchell. Have a listen. Okay, well, I'm Dr. Shannon Clark. I am the founder of Babies After 35, and I'm joined here with Dr. Stephen and Erin Mitchell. They are the founders of Create Your Couple Story, and on all the things I've been sharing on my Instagram stories, there's a swipe up link that goes directly to their website. So you'll see that it's on there now. And then afterwards, I'll post a few things. So you guys that are listening, you can join it then. And then also tell us what your Instagram handle is right off the top.
So it's Couples Counseling for Parents.
Okay. And you guys are both on there, but we're just going to dive in because the way Instagram Stories works is it's going to cut me off at an hour. Okay. I would like to maybe chat for 30 to 40 minutes and then open it up for questions. Okay. So I'll keep track of the timer. Okay.
Sure. Perfect. Okay.
First off, so tell me, who are you?
Good question.
Well, the first thing is we're a married couple. We've been married for 12 years. We have three kids, three boys, 8, 6, and 2.
Okay. I feel like he just looked at me like, is that a
Is that right?
But we also have backgrounds in counseling and psychology. So I have a PhD in marriage and family therapy. And then
I have my master's in counseling psychology. And we did that. While we were married. So we got those degrees in the last 10 years.
When in your training did you guys meet? Like, where were you at in your training?
He had finished his first two master's degrees. Okay. And then I was in the first year of my master's program.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that's how you guys met. So when you first started out, did you see this is where you guys were going to head? Did you have any idea?
That's a great question. Yeah. I mean, honestly, no.
But we always, obviously we like each other and we always, we always were like, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we could do something together? Mm-hmm. I don't think that we had this in mind when we had that idea, but it really, I don't know, it really works for us. We really like it.
Probably about 10 years ago, we started really thinking about like, what would this look like? We started developing courses. We would take long road trips. We lived in Grand Junction, Colorado when Stephen was doing his fellowship for his PhD. Mm-hmm. And we had had a miscarriage about 2 years before that. Okay. And we started thinking about like, man, there's a lot of things we wish we would have known or things we wish people in our community would have known. And maybe we should be the people to tell people about that. And
You feel, you know, and you always ask, you know, for me, just personally, being in physician and training, I made it a point from long ago. I was never going to date a doctor.
Yes.
I was like, no way, no how. I'm enough. There's no way that I could be two of us. Now I know there's plenty of doctor couples. So what's it like working together as a married couple that's doing what you're doing?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm not a doctor, but we both
for
do.
Sure. You have a counseling background.
Yeah. But you're same married profession. And you have children together and you work together. So what's that like?
I would say we can disagree on percentages, but I would say it's 75% amazing.
Yeah.
And 25%, he really makes me want to pull my hair out. all the things that come up in marriage come up in work too. Oh man.
And I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of crossover and bleed over into it. So I get it.
100%.
I think it's really, I mean, mostly it's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, we like, oftentimes we'll get done working with someone and we're like, oh, isn't this great? I think the thing that is tough is we both have opinions and we both have thoughts about how we should do things.
Yeah.
And we don't easily back down from those. That's really where there's been times when Erin's kind of the CEO of what we do. Okay. There's been times where she's like, you're a terrible employee.
Yes.
You won't do what I tell you.
You're like, I'm reporting you to the boss.
Exactly. Yes. We need HR. Exactly.
She's like, I quit. If I got to work with you, I quit. And I'm like, you can't. You won't have a business.
Yeah. So, with all of the, you know, training that you guys have between the two of you, I'm sure there's a lot of plaques on your wall and it's wonderful, but why focus on couples, number one, and why focus on parenting couples?
Sure.
What led you all in that direction?
Yeah. You know, so for me in terms of couples, I mean, just, you know, honestly, like I didn't have the best home environment growing up. My parents had some real difficulties and struggles, but I always had this sense like this could be way better. Like I think couples are supposed to get along and love each other and things like that. So I think I always just had instilled in just my heart, a desire like couple relationships can be good. They can, But I think what I learned as I continued to study and work with couples and then was in my own couple relationship, but it's hard, mm-hmm. but it's really, really hard. And I think that's what gets missed. People say, hey, you can have a great couple relationship, and people leave out the part like, but it's going to be hard. There's going to be some hard work.
Well, and then you might get to a place where you think that you're okay. Nobody's okay 100% of the time. Let's be real.
Yeah, sure.
But then you add kids into the mix, and then you really start to learn about your partner. Yeah. You may have been together for years. I'll just use my sister and her husband as an example. They were married for a long time. I'm probably going to be wrong, but probably close to 12 to 13 years. And she became pregnant, a surprise pregnancy at 42.
Oh, yeah.
They're learning a lot about each other right now.
Oh, you bet.
Because parenting changes. I don't think it changes, and maybe I'm wrong, the core of who you are, but it changes mm-hmm. a lot about how you view things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find out a lot about each other, even more so than you knew before. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
100%. I think that's one of the major things. So it introduces this new stress, which is this like beautiful bundle of delight that you happen to love, but also like anything that was there already that you could sort of be like, yeah, but it's fine. We do our own thing and not that big.
Because you just have you to worry about. You just have you.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
It gets magnified.
Oh, it just magnifies anything that was there. And then it does create a whole new list of things because you didn't have to say like, well, what do we think about? We always say you had a relationship before kids and you have a brand new relationship after kids. Mm-hmm. And people don't always have the time or take the time to find out who they are in this new time. Well,
yeah. And I think the sad thing is, so I think that parenting definitely introduces a new context, which is stressful. And we all respond to stress in a really unique way.
Mine's better.
And that does create the scenario you're talking about with your sister. They're learning a lot.
Like, mm-hmm. whoa.
But I think what happens for couples, and what I feel so sad about, is couples feel like, and then that means we weren't, like, since it's tough, then we've grown apart. We weren't made for each other.
Or I missed the red flags, or I didn't meet the right person, or what was I thinking? And I think that's a good point, because it doesn't have to be a bad experience. No. It can be trying, and it can be have some bumps in the road, but it doesn't mean that you never knew that person.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. And I think that for us, one of the reasons we specifically thought about parents is because, I mean, that's a pretty broad, group of human beings. And a lot of couples we see are kind of in that category, and they're dealing with things like this. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe we don't love each other. Maybe we've fallen out of love. And really what it is, man, we've got a lot of stressful things happening in our life, and we're just struggling managing the stress. And if you can just think about it and see it a little bit differently, then you can reconnect about all those things that make your partner your partner. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be we're done.
I remember, because listen, I met my husband at 38. We married at 39. We were on the fast track to family. Mm-hmm. We barely had time to be newlyweds before we had our first miscarriage, IVF, five rounds of IVF, 2 years, egg donor, bed rest, preemie twins. And, I had always said to myself, because I was a genius back then, I will always put my husband first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but it's hard. I mean, you go through all that. I was physically, it was taxing on me as a, not only an older mom, but going through the complications I had, it was taxing on him. Trying to support me. Yeah. Then we have preemie twins. So I have to be honest, the first 3 years of their life, we had put 100% into them. Yes. And I don't regret that because it was necessary.
Yeah.
Now is the time that we have to understand that, you know what? We can breathe and we need to focus on each other. And it's hard. It's hard now, and I'm sure it's hard on anybody, but why is it so hard?
Oh, man. Go ahead. You had some.
We hear that, but I think even what you just said, even in like a, this is your field more than ours, but like a normal, a typical couple, we want to get pregnant, we do get pregnant, and we have a baby at term. Whatever term you would give that. It is... the whole thing changes. Hormones change, schedules change. Yeah. My entire view of life changes.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to then, you said it took 3 years for you to be like, we have a deep breath now. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, reassess. step back. But a lot of life has happened in that. A lot of you has changed.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to always want to. It's hard to look at that person and be like, but you missed so much for me and you weren't there for me, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of resentment can grow in there.
Yeah, yeah. And that I think it's just you have a child, and it may, I'm just saying, not even in my situation. I hear it from couples all the time, or from my friends. You know, you put so much of yourself into making sure that child's taken care of. Mm-hmm. You not only neglect yourself, you neglect your partner. Yes. And, you know, it's hard not to, but I think, you know, one of the things that's great about counseling, I was going to, you know, ask you this, why, you know, it's not a bad thing to need counseling. That's one message I want to put out there right now.
Yeah, no.
It's not a bad thing. And, you know, and there is a stigma on it. There's still people to this day, even medical professionals, who are afraid to do counseling or you don't think they need it. But why do we need it? What would be your answer to that? Why should it be destigmatized? Why is it not a bad thing?
Yeah. Well,
so I think one of the things you described is just in your story, you said there was an increase in stress.
Mm-hmm.
Then that kind of decreased. We were able to kind of come back to a place of breath, and then you can kind of regroup. Mm-hmm. And honestly, in our physiological response to stress, what happens is we ramp up and we come down. And if our bodies and everything are in sync and doing well, there's a break, right? You get stressed, then there's a break that helps you come back to a place of balance, and you can kind of find, you know, your normal rhythm again. But what happens is, particularly in parenting, is everyone's stress response is activated, but it doesn't break. It just keeps going.
Yes.
And what happens is people begin to think that is normal. They think that's the new normal in life. And what happens is when couples run into difficulty, it's usually because they've been operating at such a high level of energy that there's breakdown. Their body begins to break down. The relationships break down. Their mental health breaks down, whatever it might be. And then they're like, oh, wow, we need to regroup and we need to kind of find a place of balance again. And so I think what counseling can do is it can interrupt that cycle.
Okay. Anyway,
so because counseling can provide a place for couples to come, focus on the self and their relationship, and establish a place of balance and rhythm in the midst of that really high stress. And so I think that what happens is people don't realize that that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't realize that they're running at 100, you know?
That requires a level of self-reflection.
Yes.
Any parent understands doesn't exist.
Sure. Yeah. Or time or whatever. Yeah. So one of the things, one of the reasons we also do telehealth or telehealth consultations is because for parents, when do you have time to go, oh, let's get a sitter and let's go drive.
Yeah, if you do get a sitter, you don't want to go to therapy.
Are you kidding?
You want to get a, you know, go on a date.
But
one other thing, Dr. Clark, I would say, were you finished?
Yeah, I'm sorry. She thinks I talk too much. She's like, are you done? Are you done running your mouth?
I think that people often don't seek out couples help until they're at that place to even talk about.
The breaking point.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons that stigma needs to be broken down beforehand. Because if you can just go and say, like, we're pregnant, like, we want to get ready, like, or like, we're thinking about having kids, like, we'd like to, like, sort of do a checkup and, like, get our couple's health in a good spot so we don't find ourselves there, or like, just more of a maintenance kind of thing, like, just,
well, you know, check, like, working out.
It's great that you say it that way, because I was had another live discussion on a totally different topic, but we were talking about women's health and infertility. And, you know, if we're not getting our fertility, our maintenance stuff taken care of over the years, then we might try to have babies and then realize we can't, when something could have been done years ago that may have prevented us from getting in this spot. So I think it's important for people to know that therapy and mental health and emotional health is just as an important part of our well-being as physical health. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to get their blood pressure checked, you know, their sugar checked, their thyroid checked, and their heart if they're having chest pain, but what about what's up here? What about here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I think we need to realize, and especially as parents, because we're raising new people, we're making new people, that we need to be as mentally and emotionally sound as we are physically. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and you make a great point. the mind and body, they're all connected. Mm-hmm. So people begin to, you know, struggle with gastrointestinal things, you know, headaches, body aches, pain, whatever it is. And our bodies store our stress.
Yes.
And so one of the things that we see, you know, if we work with a couple or we work with individual clients, as they take care of their mental health, some of those physiological symptoms decrease.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, obviously, you know, you always need to go to your doctor. Yes. You need to consult with your doctor. You know, there's a medical and psychological component to both.
They're just not so separate.
But they're just not. They are related. And so it's part of just being healthy.
I think that stigma was like, we're in counseling, like, oh, what's wrong? Nothing.
You know, I'm living life. That's what's wrong. And life is stressful and hard, and I need help.
But no one would say to you, why are you going for your breast annual mammogram? No one would question, why are you going for your pap smear? Why are you going for your prostate exam?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Exactly. So, you know, we need to shift the way we're thinking in society about it can be just as much as part of maintenance and well-being as anything else.
Yeah, yes.
Very much.
The
very
other much. Thing that this makes me think of when you said, like, we are raising these humans, I think one of the best things we can do for our kids is have this strong, healthy, not just a relationship where we're not screaming at each other. Like, that's a pretty low bar. But, like, where we enjoy each other and we are being reflective. And our kids learn a lot from how we interact with each other. Mm-hmm. So it's part of good parenting. We think, we see.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, and as you mentioned, Stephen, earlier on about the upbringing, I'm a prime example of that as well. I didn't have the best role models growing up. And I think that's probably going to be a large portion of us. I mean, it is what it is. So that would be even more of a reason, especially if you want to break the cycle and change things. Once you do become a parent, you can't go to your PCP and ask them, how do I break the cycle? What do I need to take? What lab tests can you draw?
Yeah,
that's not how it works. We have to be more proactive about it and say, you know, go to you guys and say, what do I need to do? How do I, you know, just get some help along the way?
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself in situations like that where you have new parents or, you know, maybe established parents who are struggling with those issues about, you know, why things are getting so much harder once they have kids and then going back to possibly the way they were raised?
And I'll make this, Aaron and I, we go to therapy. We're not currently in therapy, but we have most certainly, that has been a part of our relationship as well. We've seen the need for that. But yes, I think one of the things that we do in our courses, but also with couples, is we ask them, what did you see?
Yeah.
So like when it comes to conflict or when it comes to like, how are you supposed to treat kids or when it comes to finances or how are you supposed to treat your partner? What did you see?
Yeah.
And what did you learn about what was okay and what wasn't okay? And sometimes there's always good, positive and negative things. Right.
Yeah.
And so,
yes.
So it's always trying to enhance those positive things and then helping a couple say, like, who do you want to be? Like, you don't just have to be a product of the story that you're coming out of.
Yeah.
You as a couple can create something new and something different. That
Which
you
is where
create
your couple
down.
Story comes from.
Right.
Is that where it came from?
Exactly.
Awesome. So. Because that's the getting to know your couple relationship in this new context. So like, this is the story I'm bringing. This is the story you're bringing. And if you aren't intentional to discuss that, you can either react all over each other.
Yeah.
Or you can like find things that you do share, but you never said that's something you share. Just it's a more intentional way of doing this new relationship.
Yeah. So a couple relationships can be reactive or they can be imaginative and creative, right? So we, you know, I have a story that I grew up with. Aaron has one. And when couple relationships are reactive, it's because she's making me feel something from before that I didn't like, and I've been trying to, or I'm trying to impose, like, this is the way you need to be so that my like life works the way I want it.
So that's
really reactive.
Yeah.
Rather, if we as a couple can understand one another's and be curious about it, then we can be imaginative and creative about, like, so do we want to do that or do we not? Like,
you just get more choice.
Yeah. Could we be something else? And it's so much more enjoyable to have options.
I mean, I think one thing I'm learning and we're learning every day is, you know, the one thing you mentioned earlier is having, we can be the best parents, mm-hmm. but we might not be the best partner.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's not too much to ask that we do both. And right. I think it is possible. I think a lot of times what we do is life gets in the way, career gets in the way, work gets in the way, other things get in the way. And the first thing that's sacrificed is your partner, because that's sure. the easiest thing to kind of drop down a few notches on your list of priorities. What would you have to say to that?
Well, I love that, because your partner is also one of the closest people to you.
Yeah.
And you kind of figure they can take it.
Yep.
You know, that, and we, you know, we can and we can't.
Yes.
But I think also,
We can short term.
Yeah, yeah.
But short term becomes long term.
Long term, very easy. Yeah.
And then you're just like, you know what? Yes. I think I hate you now. You know? Yeah. So that's the kind of thing that happens. But you make a great point. And in a lot of research and family systems and supports this idea that to have a strong parenting unit, oftentimes we think focus on the kids. But really, if you focus on the couple relationship, mm-hmm. the result is healthy couple ends up in healthy relationships kids. With mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah.
Now, granted, like you said, there's going to be moments where that's a little...
Yeah. Well, yeah, it can be more fluid.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that is a part of the dynamic, right? So are you and your partner talking about that? Are you saying like, hey, I feel like me and you are kind of taking a back seat right now. And we're like, yeah, we are, but we got to get through this. Like, let's get through it together. Yeah. Are you okay? I'm okay. Like, let's tell each other when we're not.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. I mean, those kinds of things are really important. And so if your kids know that you love each other, they're gonna feel really safe
and secure. Yeah.
It's easy. It's easy to shift that. You know, I think the first person that's going to suffer in unusual times or times of stress is going to be the partner, because like you said, we figure they can take it.
Yes.
And you know, and like you said, yes, for short term, but definitely not long term. So we need to kind of reassess things and make sure that we don't let them go too long.
And again, it's okay. It's all about, do you have ways of communicating where you can find your way back to each other?
Well, speaking of communication, three things I wanted to talk about, the number one thing I want to talk about is communication. Mm-hmm. What are some tips you might have for improving communication? I will give you an example of that recently happened to my husband and I. I'm over communicator. I'm pretty vocal. I communicate. He, on the other hand, not so much. And that's fine. You know, people are different. I get it. But I don't really talk a whole lot about work, but listen, to be honest with you, the COVID thing at work has been,
man.
It's like you walk into work and there's a black cloud that smacks you in the face as soon as you walk in.
Actually,
the problem with that, in my perspective, now I have been fortunate enough to not have to deal with some of the things that other people, doctors in the country have, but we still have to deal with it, is not the actual care of the patient. It's the stress about what ifs. Did we do something wrong? Do we do something mm-hmm. right? The residents are stressed. The nurses are stressed. Everybody's stressed, and you're the one they go to, and it's a lot of stress.
Yes.
And something happened, and I, I haven't really talked to him about that, and I guess maybe he didn't realize, or maybe I expected him to understand. I don't know, but I just kind of broke down. I'm like, it's a lot of stress. Uh-huh. It's a lot of stress, and this is enough. And I'm being short with you. I'm sorry, but this has been going on for months now. And I think we're all kind of hitting a wall, not just me, but all of us in medicine to some degree are hitting a wall. Yeah. And he said to me, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Because I think what I was doing is I was so stressed at work. As soon as I walked in the door, I didn't want to think about it.
Yeah.
But I guess I probably couldn't help but think about it. Well, and it was manifesting in other ways. So yeah.
That's actually 100%. I think if I were to like clarify what I think happened is, so it's really easy. You're stressed, right? Mm-hmm. Again, stress takes people into stress, which blocks the ability to communicate clearly, because you're just like, we want stress to stop. Mm-hmm. And so we look for relief. That's natural. It really makes us narrowed in our focus. We can't be as dynamic and open and flexible with how we think and feel. It's just like, I'm stressed. I got to get this done. And I need to reduce like the number of options.
You even you saying like, I guess I hadn't told him or hadn't said it. Like, how could you?
Yeah.
You're like in it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the last thing I wanted to do. I would come home. go to the garage apartment, shower. And I was like, I thought I was just leaving it there and going home, but I guess it's impossible to leave it. So it was starting to seep in other ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And so recognizing that that is happening. And then what often happens in a couple relationship is that leads to blaming and criticizing a partner.
Yeah. One way or the other.
One way, because you're kind of like, can't you make this better? You're not, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And really the simple fix is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you know what? I think I was responding to you out of my stress, which is, again, you're talking about your experience. Mm-hmm. You're also talking about the stress. You're not talking about your partner. Like, you haven't been doing these things. And this is why you're like, you know what? I'm stressed. I think this has been happening for me. And I think I didn't realize, I'm overwhelmed. And then in that, you can communicate something that you feel like you might need, or mm-hmm. you can break down and, you know, whatever it is. And for your partner, he was like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there's much more compassion and mm-hmm. much more openness on their part mm-hmm. to be able to interact. And so in some ways, that's
as good as it gets sometimes.
There's so many different points of entry in terms of helping couples with communication. Yeah. But in the end, that is really the simple dynamic mm-hmm. of we get stressed, we make that stress, we get confused by it, we respond to it, and then we kind of dump on our partner. Mm-hmm. They're doing the same thing back. Yeah. Everybody's dumping on each other. But really, if we think about it, we're like, I'm stressed. And when I'm stressed, mm-hmm. I get scared, or I get sad, or mm-hmm. I just don't know what to do. And when you can voice that, there can be compassion.
Yeah, but what about when you have couples that, for example, my husband, you know, I'm very vocal. He's mm-hmm. not so much. And it's probably who we are. It's how mm-hmm. we were made. Okay. Yes. I'm not expecting him to be like me. And he should know better than expect me to be like him. I'm always going to be blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But how do you help bridge that, bring them more equal in communication?
Well, so I probably fall into the less vocal, right?
Yeah.
Category.
It's interesting.
Wait a minute. You're less vocal.
In this setting, I just talk a lot. I'm like, oh, everybody needs to hear what I have to say.
I think that I do tend to, like, when we finally check in a day, I will debrief from like, mm-hmm. this is what happened at 9, and then at 9:05, and then at 9:11, and then like I just go through the whole day. And then I'm like, what happened for you today? And he's like, I have no idea. I'm going to chill dinner. Like,
I did some work. Some stuff.
But when it comes to like our ability to be reflective, like that is me being able to talk about what happened, like from a descriptive point of view in the day.
Yeah.
Like journalistic, maybe even more than like really reflective. I'm like, I was having a hard time, or mm-hmm. I struggle with that. I have a harder time putting like, this is where that came from. This is, that's harder for me than Steven. So Steven would have an easier time accessing emotion and where frustration was coming from. I don't particularly like that.
But I think one thing you could do in that scenario is you could, so the partner, so for example, you would like to maybe hear a little bit more from
your husband. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then the question would be like, well, how would that be helpful? Why would I like that? What would that mean to me? What would that say about our relationship? Okay. So you kind of locate that. And then it's being able to communicate that to your partner. Like, hey, I was just noticing that, I maybe miss this when I hear a little bit more from you. And then for him, it's him being able to hear that, you know, try to understand it, because it might sound a little different for him. But then it's also working out, so what is that going to look like? Mm-hmm. Right? Because he's not going to be able to start using 50,000 words a day. all of a sudden,
no.
Right? And you actually probably don't just want him to talk more.
Yeah.
Just want to hear more about his life.
I think what it is for us, I don't really talk about work much because mm-hmm. my work's pretty stressful.
Yeah.
But if I'm feeling a certain way especially since we had kids, if I'm really tired, I'll tell him, like, mm-hmm. I'll let him know I'm good about that part. Whereas he likes to talk about the day or things or current events. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to feelings or what he's feeling, not so much. So, you know, that's sometimes where we run into some issues, because I'm like, I look at him, I'm like,
Anything? I totally.
Hello.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just how we're different in expressing things. Yeah.
I loved when you did this. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot. I think probably almost every couple, if any of our couples are out there watching, they're going to be like, oh, they do that with us. But pace. When the person who tends to be faster, even if it's just verbally, can slow down and say like, I was wondering about this, and then wait.
Yeah.
Like, not keep pressing, give them time. Mm-hmm. Generally, if that person can slow their pace, this person can pick up their pace.
Catch up.
The faster this person goes, the more anxious. And they're like, meh. And then they're like, if I just stop talking, they're probably going to just talk right over it. We can move on.
And there's a part too. Some people are external verbal processors, right? So they're talking and figuring things out.
That would be me.
I'm more of an internal processor. Mm-hmm.
So that would be my husband. Yeah.
Yeah.
You say something and I'm going to need, and you know what? I might, it's not that I don't care. It's not that I'm not thinking about it, but it does take me a little time. And so, I mean, I think within the next 2 days, you know, I can usually come back, but yeah. I do need a little space because in the moment I just can't figure out.
You get real fuzzy.
So part of it could be even like having a conversation about the conversation.
I think I'm faster.
Do you get fuzzy or do you, like when I ask you a question about how you feel or something, do you just like forget it or do you actually go think about it and I don't give you enough time or space to come back to it?
Are you hearing the teacher and Charlie Brown go, wah, 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 wah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And that's maybe one of those things I think that changes in parenting too, though. So like, even if you knew how to communicate before kids, it's different after.
Yeah.
And in stages too, like it's different when you have a newborn versus the 1-year-old versus the 3-year-olds.
Well, that would bring me into the next point of quality time. I think what happens with parents, I'm not going to say blanket all parents, but I think what happens with parents is that we don't get as much quantity.
Yes.
Because we have other people
that
are always there.
Always there.
And they're not going to go away. So then we need to focus on the quality.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do we start? You know, I think we need to understand the quantity is not going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
That's
so
true.
How do we make the quantity better, the quality better? How do we make the quality time better? How do we do that?
I love that. So we do tell couples, because every couple says like, we try to have a date and we try not to talk about our kids, and that's okay. But that's not really the one thing people need, is to be able to have time where they don't talk about their kids.
Cause you can connect about talking about
kids. Yeah. So yes, still plan dates if you can, and you can, I don't know, quarantine's a very interesting time for that anyway.
Good
but
luck. Yeah.
Yeah. The quality, it does look very different. So we find that someone has to be communicating about like, I miss you. Like, I feel like it's been a long time. And then allowing it to look very different, especially in quarantine when you have to be so much more creative in life. I feel like I have been the most creative I've ever been in my parenting and relating in life, because suddenly like a date, like with a bottle of wine and a deck of Uno is like as magical and romantic as we can get.
Like
big night out.
But
like taking the time in the middle of the day, like when you're doing dishes beside each other, and letting that be connective if it is, rather than having it have to be some big ceremonious, like.
I agree with that. Because, you know, honestly, I think if we communicate about what it is that we want, what our expectations are.
Yes.
I don't want him thinking I'm expecting a 12 dozen roses and a home-cooked meal and, you know, a violin and all that. No, maybe I just want to go on a bike ride and stop and have a cup of coffee. Because we're 46-year-old parents now, and we're not hitting the clubs anymore for quality time. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
No.
So, and I don't miss that as an aside. I don't miss it. So, you know, our quality time looks different.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. But it takes a shifting of communicating about like, what is that like for us? And Stephen and I know that we like to play outside together. Mm-hmm. Like, so a bike ride, like that's That's our speed. But sometimes couples have a different expectation. So if someone does like the fancy night out and you can't get a babysitter, or you're in quarantine in this particular, maybe the partner can do a fancy night on the deck or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, understanding and re-communicating again, like what expectations are. And then if you're communicating more, then when you do find those pockets of time, you're not spending them being frustrated with each other.
Yeah.
It's the worst when you plan some time together and then you get it, and then you're fighting.
And then you're fighting over.
Oh, can I tell you how many times that's happened with us? I mean, like,
us too. You can almost plan on it. Like, yeah. Oh, we've got an hour on Friday. We'll probably fight. It's gonna be
great. Yeah,
and, I think our culture, you know, creates a lot of like what things should be like.
Yeah,
and I think that those are massively unrealistic. You know, and I think that what couples struggle with is accepting what's normal, which is things are awkward and weird and like, you know, communication's tough and quality time's weird and sex is weird. And it's not, I mean, none of these things are just like they're presented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're like, you just get it and it works right the first time. And I got dinner right. Just perfect.
Like, you kind of get used to bumbling around. You
know? Real life is not an Instagram square.
No, it's certainly not.
No. I mean, Instagram squares are beautiful and they're amazing. And I sometimes wish I could just jump right in there, but that's not my life.
No.
And I think couples need to take pressure off themselves and understand that whatever's normal for them is perfectly fine. It doesn't have to be beautiful and pretty and fit into that square. Right. It is whatever it makes you both happy and helps you connect.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to know that about each other and your and your couple relationship.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the last things I wanted to touch on is you guys have on your, I think it's on your Instagram page, resolving resentment. Why is this resentment? I don't think people even realize that's what's going on. But I think in any couple's relationship who are parents, there's going to be some resentments from somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
Well, I think it's different as for parents than it is for other couples, honestly, because resentment begins to look different.
Sure.
I've said 7,000 times, so our oldest is 8 and a half. Like, I do not want to be the president of parenting. Like, I don't have to explain to you what would be helpful to me. Like, you're the dad, like, do it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I did it. And then you told me how it was wrong.
Wrong.
So I don't want to just do it. I want to just know.
I do know what to do, but you don't seem to like it. So I'm not sure what we're going to do about
it. But those things happen like in those micro moments, 700 times before breakfast. And it just, and you don't always say them out loud. And so they just grow and they
build up.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't like this role. And he's like, I don't really like this role. And then you feed into that all day long. You are, anything Stephen does, I'm putting in that category. I'm filtering it through, like, he doesn't see me or he doesn't appreciate all the work I've done. Or our favorite thing to resent each other over is sleep. And it can happen so easily where yesterday morning he woke up, he was like, it seemed like you got to sleep in really late. And I immediately am like, whoa, is that like, I didn't get
Is that a big deal?
Yeah. Like, I'm still tired.
Or no, I didn't. I was exhausted.
I got water for kids.
You didn't do me a favor by waking up, whatever.
But I can I can feel like, is that a criticism? Like, but it's not, unless I'm already feeling in my life, like, I haven't been sleeping much. I don't feel like Steven's really validating how hard I'm working and vice versa.
But I think at the very base level of resentment, how it happens is, our relationships with other human beings are wonderful and beautiful, but they also tap in to some of our core hurts and needs. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that I've always struggled with my whole life is having the sense that I am wanted and valuable, my ideas matter, all that kind of stuff. And so, but that can manifest itself in a really simple way. So let's say I do something parenting wise with, you know, boys or whatever it is. And Aaron has something critical to say.
Yeah.
Instantly that doesn't just go to that moment. That goes to that place that says, oh, and there you are. You're not making it. And you're not.
Yeah.
And then resentment is really founded in those things. And it's like, oh, then what happens is my partner becomes someone who's my adversary.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're always attacking me. And so I think that is that so easily happens.
Yeah.
And that's not the point. That's not, but we get
lost.
We just get confused.
Really lost. Yeah. Yes. I think, you know, the whole resentment thing, I think every couple's different. In my specific situation, I am a physician. I travel an hour to and from work each day. My hours are much more strenuous than my husband. My husband works from home. Now that his job is not difficult, it totally is, but he's home more than me.
Yeah.
His stress at work is not the same as mine.
Nope.
And I think it's important to understand what the role, I always hear, you know, that's old time. That's the woman's role. That's the man's role.
Right.
I honestly, I feel like whoever's able to do it, that's their role. Yeah. Because that has, I mean, if I'm not physically here, you know, my husband cooks dinner. My husband is the one that will get them up for school when I have to leave early, because that's how our family has worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And we can't resent each other over that, because it's what's whoever's happening. There can do it. It has to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and right. I would love to be home to do that, but that's just not the reality of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I also mm-hmm. think I hear that a lot from couples too, is that they resent each other for things that they feel like they should be doing, when actually it might be better if you're doing it, because you're the one that's actually physically there and able to do it. So do you see that a lot, like that being kind of a source of resentment as well? What I'm trying to get at is I want to get rid of the whole thing that this is the man's role, that's the woman's role. That has to go away, because we have so many women who are mm-hmm. in the workforce and are in demanding careers, and I cannot do it all. I can't.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank God I have a husband who does a lot, and he is not the traditional male role at all. And if he would try to do that, it would never work.
Yeah.
And I think we've been very good about that, and does not have a problem with it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's worked for us. So I do feel that that's probably is a source for resentment, because that's how we were brought up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, my dad did not work as hard as my mom, but my mom did everything because that was her job.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the gender role thing is, we're done with those too.
Yes.
They are very tired, and people are tired of them. It's unrealistic. It's draining, and life has changed so much. Mm-hmm. I think in that same vein though, like you talk about your husband cooking dinner. We do not have typical gender roles either. But like, so Stephen cleaned the kitchen last night after I made dinner, he cleaned up. And then when I was getting ready to leave, he was like, before you walk out of this room, I'd like for you to take a look at the kitchen, and I need you to pat me on the back. And not because he never cleans the kitchen, but like, we still want to be seen for what we're doing.
Yeah.
So like, and I think that's where people miss it sometimes. Like, I'm not going to pat you on the back for something that you can do, but like, we all want to be seen and known and have our partner be like, you're doing a great job. Thanks for everything you're doing. And I think we forget to do that.
It's like, it's expectation and there's no gratitude.
Yeah.
And it's not, we can do a lot if we do feel like the other person is seeing us and saying that, you know, like, and I knew that, like, so what, I clean the kitchen. That's not a big deal. And that's not like a male or female or whatever role. But it was something that I felt like
it looked really good.
I worked really hard on it. Mm-hmm. I kind of had chosen not to do something, you know, more fun. And I just wanted a way to go.
Thanks for helping.
I cleaned the kitchen for the rest of my life. Yeah. You know,
I think that's a very simple thing that we probably don't take advantage of enough as couples, is just saying a simple thank you. Yes. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's so hard for us to do this. You know, I think I'm guilty of that, because I am so, you know, at a level 12 all day long, and I get home and I'm just like,
zombie.
But then I have two kids that are pulling at me. And so I have to check back in for them, that I will miss telling my husband, mm-hmm. thank you for having dinner ready for me when I got home, or thank you for taking them to school, or thank you for this, and mm-hmm. vice versa when I am home to do something, you know.
Yes.
And I think it's so simple to do, and it costs nothing.
Yes.
You don't have to go to therapy for that.
That's right. It does cost a level of like mental like reflection and like what happened in this day, and like who helped make what happen.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other things to that is when a couple starts to notice that they're feeling frustrated, like Steve and I have washed, we not long ago moved, and there was like 3 straight weeks where he did not do one single load of laundry. And I finally was like, I get you've been doing other things, but I've washed a lot of laundry in a row, and I feel like you haven't even noticed. Like, mm-hmm. I'm starting to get frustrated. It's like, before it gets to the point of I'm never washing your underwear again, like, do it yourself.
And I just said to her, well, that's your job. And that's what you're supposed to know.
How'd that go for you?
But I do want to acknowledge the gender role thing. I agree. Like, those are very burdensome at times. But I do also want to acknowledge there are people who still adhere to those, and that's fine. I think that this idea of expressing gratitude
is universal.
It can even be universal in that. And I think that that's where gender roles really get messed up too, is because people are like, well, that's your job.
I don't have to thank you.
I don't, I mean, why am I thanking you for something you're supposed to be doing? I'm like, well, that seems unkind. You know, I just don't think that, you know, so, but I do.
Lots
think
of couples have ways of operating that do work for them that would never work for another couple. And the key is,
though, it has to work for both people.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
If you want to maintain the traditional male-female roles, that's perfectly fine as long as you're okay with it.
Everybody's fine. Exactly. And as long as everyone can see, like, 10 years from now, like, am I going to be okay that this is how this last 10 years worked? Because that's going to be heavy in 10 years if not.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to stop for you because there's a couple things I want to hit where you've got about 12 minutes left. But there's not been a whole lot of questions. So I don't think we have to field questions. It's mostly comments about thank you for this. Thank you for this. So what I wanted to touch on is, you know, talking specifically about you guys, because I think just the limited interaction I've had with you guys, and even today, I think you guys are so relatable, which I think is beautiful. And it doesn't feel like we're being talked at. I think you seem like you're talking. It's like a conversation and a dialogue.
We've got all these problems too.
Yeah, I mean, we're all in it. We all have. Yeah, okay?
Yes, exactly right.
So, why don't you just tell me, like, how could people? I on your site, I see that you guys do individual couples. And couples counseling for parents.
Right.
Are those the types of counseling that you provide? And is it all telemed, or how is it? How do you guys?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So we have a couple of different things. So we have our courses. So
one of our big things, Dr. Clark, is accessibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People have all sorts of barriers. So one of the things we said is like breaking down stigma. Well, there are people who want access to therapy who feel like they can't afford it. I don't have time for that. Right. Like there's a lot of reasons people don't seek that out. So we've tried to like literally list out on like on a dry erase board, like why are people not coming? Like what are the barriers to from there to here?
Yeah.
And so we did create these courses. So like if you don't ever want to see us, you don't have to. But you still want some like ability and some questions for reflection like that.
So, but that's it. So first talk about the two course. You have one course that's available now, and then you have one that's launching soon.
Tomorrow,
right? Okay. So tell me about the one that's available now. Briefly.
That is the idea to create your couple story.
And like we talked about earlier.
That is, these are all self-paced courses.
Okay.
And that just focuses on how do you get to know your individual story?
Each of you know your individuals.
And then how do you get to know, like, what is your couple story? Like, what kind of story do you want to have together as a couple? And so we go through things like your family of origin. We go through things like attachment and, like, how you've learned to relate to people. We go through stress.
Personality.
Sex.
Talk about sex. You know, kind of these big hitting things that couples often struggle with. And so those people can engage with those courses. We can also
that's an eight week course.
Yes, that's the eight week course.
The one that's launching tomorrow is what is that?
4 weeks.
That's
4 weeks.
And that's specifically for couples in the parenting years. And so we hit on
the things we hit on today.
Parenting stress, communication, connection and validation.
And we try to have them be as interactive as possible. So a lot of self-reflection, a lot of questions, a lot of exercises.
Short, quick hitting, because you don't have a lot of time.
And again, that's gone. Create your couple story. That'll be available on my link after this and on this video. And other forms of counseling other than the courses that you guys offer?
Yeah, so
telehealth.
Yeah, so we do telehealth predominantly. So and there's two ways that we do this. So I'm licensed in Colorado, Missouri, and Georgia. And so there's some different services we can provide in terms of psychotherapy in those areas because I can do, you know, traditional psychotherapy there. For people who are not in those states, what we do is we do a combination of consultation, education, and then coping skills development based off of our courses. So we'll have couples interact with the courses, then we'll facilitate dialogue and kind of practical process around those. And so those are more, you know, coaching, consultation. And those can be real time limited. You know, those are a little more time limited. Hey, this will be 8 to 10 weeks built around the course. And some people like that. It feels like,
Because when you sign up for counseling, it's like forever.
So, the one thing I wanted to do also is I wanted to, we're going to give away a free course. Mm-hmm. I forget what, is it the new one that's launched tomorrow? The new one?
Yes, that was the idea, but we don't care. So like whatever, whoever your winner is, I think I should get to choose.
Okay, so Felicia Traeger, if you are listening, you're going to win a free course. So I will just PM me Felicia and you will, I will give you the information on how to get a hold of Dr. Steven and Aaron and to claim your course. You could either choose the 8-week course or the 4-week course, whichever one suits you best. And then also you guys are going to give my viewers a discount code for
any course.
So viewers get 20% discount if they use the coupon code.
Babies After 35 is the code.
Oh, already have. Okay.
So we have to go. Babies After 35 is the code. And if you choose the 8-week course or the 4-week course, which launches tomorrow, and you enter in the code Babies After 35, you'll get a 20% off.
And that is not just today. That is just your code.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Yeah. So that'll be my code.
I need to enter it in. I got to enter it in. I'm going to enter it in today.
Guys, take advantage of this. So, you know, those are the main things I want. But we have a few more minutes left. Just give us a few pearls. Just
we got it.
Did she get it?
That's good.
Felicia got it. So what are a couple of other things would you part with? A few parting words for us.
I think one thing I would really want couples to know is that this is a really hard time. It is tough to be a couple when you're parenting,
tough to be a couple.
But it's the best thing. So like it's also the greatest opportunity for healing is in that couple relationship.
Yeah.
All those things. Those deep places Stephen talked about. The best shot I have at all of those hard places is when I can come to Stephen in a very, very trusting way and say, I'm feeling this, whatever vulnerable thing, or you hurt my feelings. I have the hardest time saying when he's hurt my feelings. But that's where healing happens, is when you can be vulnerable with one another. But vulnerability in parenting is like, you're kidding me. I've got things to do. There's less to be
made. I think, you know, if we're parents and then, you know, and I'll speak up by myself. I feel like I have to be so tough and so strong all day long. Because I have so many people to take care of. I have so many people who are looking to me. It's hard for me to be vulnerable. I sometimes forget how to do that. And I want people to know that are listening, vulnerability is not a weakness. You know, you should, if there's anybody that you're going to be vulnerable with, it should be with your partner. Because, and I told my husband that too. I said, I want to come home and I want to feel like I'm protected. And that doesn't mean he gets his muscles out. That just means that I'm able to come home and decompress, especially in these times as a healthcare provider. And not have to worry about anything and know that if I need to talk about something, he's going to be there. And I know it's a tall order. And I told him this. I know it's a lot to ask of you because I know you have a lot going on too. But right now, COVID has kind of taken over our lives. And rightfully so, because I have to be alert. I have to be ready. I have to be rested. I have a long shift tomorrow overnight. I have to get my sleep tonight because we don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, and I think it's one of these times you spoke about is right now, I'm going to have to take, and I'm not afraid to say this right now, my well-being has to take a little bit of a precedence because it's hard right now. So as long as he understands that, you know, eventually the balance will shift again. But, and I think I speak for a lot of people that are in medicine in any way, whether you're, you know, on house staff or you're the cleaning staff or you're, you know, anything in medicine right now, I really think those people are having it really tough and I'm sure it's affecting a lot of marriages. I think that we just need to realize that and understand and give those people an outlet and a safe space to vent.
Exactly right. I love that too. A partnership isn't 50-50 100% of the time. It just isn't. And that would be great. It's just not real life. And some days, like, I'm not okay today. Like, you're on, tag, you're in.
Yeah, you pass leadership. You're like, hey, I need you to take the lead right now. I need you to take the lead, right? Like, you work as a team. But I think my pearl is people can have good relationships. Your couple relationship can be good.
Yeah.
Even if it's been bad. And even if you're struggling, even if you can't see how it can be good.
Yeah.
I really do believe that it can be. There mm-hmm. are things that can be done, and you can find your way back to each other. Mm-hmm. And it's not bad that you might feel lost mm-hmm. Because you're human.
Yeah.
And there's no way for that not to happen.
Yeah.
Much more couple relationships, you know, you take the long view. You're going to have moments of, you know, when you're up, moments when you're down. But if for the long view, the trend is we've had a lot of up moments, you're winning.
Yeah.
You've done well, you know?
Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, even after we've been talking for the last hour, one of the things, you know, I tell women all the time, a healthy mom is essential for a healthy baby. Whatever that means, whether it's because she has a medical condition or, you know, her emotional health, because, you know, we're not going to have a successful, healthy pregnancy if there's, you know, mm-hmm. some issues with mom.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for couples. We have to have a healthy relationship with our partner in order for, like you said, for our kids to learn healthy relationships.
Yeah.
I think exactly
I didn't
right.
learn a healthy relationship. I did not learn anything about healthy relationships growing up. Not a thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And honestly, I'm still learning.
Oh, of course.
And me too. Yeah,
but
sure.
I mean, that's one of the benefits of having like a very obviously negative childhood mm-hmm. is you are aware of that. I don't want to do this. So you do like, so what do I want to do? But a lot of times people don't have all those things. Like we have couples all the time, like, but everything seemed fine. Like, I don't really know why I feel these ways.
Yeah.
Like, there's a benefit to that. Like explosive. Terrible.
It's
a messy benefit, but
it's probably helped me more than hurt in some ways, but you know, I think we just need to realize that having a healthy relationship is essential for a happy home. It's not gonna be perfect all the time. We want to make kids teach our children how to help healthy relationships as well, because the first people they're going to learn that from is us.
That's exactly right. Their sense of self, their sense of like, what is the couple supposed to look like? What do I want to be like? And then we know we're going to mess it up. We already tell our kids, like, it'll be so interesting. And they like, oh, we know, Dad, like when Steven will come, like, Dad, I'm so sorry, Leeds, for what I did. He's like, oh, I knew you were just cranky. They're like, very well. That's right. Yes. They begin to see that, like, I don't have to take that so personally. Like, you're having a bad day. This isn't about me. That seems about you, Dad.
I'm glad they can say that.
That's good. And I'm trying my best with our twins to teach them those things too, because, you know, I try to think about how I would have wanted things to be. And I hope that I can do that. But anyway, we're going to run out of time and I want to stop this. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you spending your
vacation Sunday with us. So
I will text you the links to both courses. Just make sure you have the right ones.
Perfect. So. All right.
You guys so enjoy much. The rest of your day.
Hey, thanks.
Appreciate
it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Perfect.
I hope you enjoyed that discussion. Now listen to the next episode on bladder health.